Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5. 1 Peter, chapter 5. We'll read verses 6 through 10 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 1 Peter, chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. First Peter 5, verses 6 through 10. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And let's finish on verse 10 together. Ready? But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And let's pray. Father, thank you for a church like this church. Thank you that your Holy Spirit's presence is here. Father, I pray that you'd fill our preacher with your power. Lord, the devil's not going to be happy with this place. He never is, but especially as we reveal his tricks, his subtleties over the next several weeks. I pray that you protect our preacher, protect our church. Lord, may we attack hell so that more folks would enter heaven because of it. Please be with the sermon today. Engrave it into our hearts so that we could help more. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning, I on purpose will spend the entire preaching sermon talking to you and encouraging you to get involved in reaching people. You know, we sometimes lose track of what the church is really all about. Let's face it, if there's a hell, then this is a pretty big deal about keeping people out of hell. We get so glib, we get so religious sometimes. You know, we come to church and we like to hear preaching, but we really don't give a lot of consideration to the fact that if there's a real heaven and a real hell, that means there's a real God and a real devil, and we're in this thing for keeps. It's a real thing. We read earlier today the passage of Scripture from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, where the Bible says, be sober. Now, let me explain. To some of you, you say, well, I am this morning. That word, be sober there, it's not talking about don't be soused, don't be a sot, don't be drunk. It's talking about be serious. There comes a point when you need to become serious or serious-minded about something. You say, now what is it that God is trying to get us to be a bit serious-minded about? He said, be sober, be vigilant. Huh, be vigilant. That's talking about some aggression there. That's talking about applying myself. Now, I need in a serious way to apply myself, and it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Now, here God is telling us that there needs to be a time in our lives when we become serious about the fact that there's a heaven and a hell. There needs to come a time in our lives when we become serious and we become aggressive about this issue that the devil is real and he walketh about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Indeed, during our fall program, we've already had a little devil out here in his mask and a little fun with that. And you see the funny little devils here that we use as decoration. But let me tell you something, folks. Devil's not a joke.
Right.
He's really not. Hell is not a joke. I want to talk to you today about the devil's fall attendance destroying program. See, it's fall attendance building program time here at our church. What is its purpose? What's the purpose of a fall program? Well, it's to get as many people saved and baptized and attending church as possible. Some churches have a 1 or 2 week revival every year. That's not what our church does. We go after souls around here 52 weeks out of the year. If you've been in this church recently, you have watched every Sunday morning 20, 25 people, 15 people, a dozen people walking the aisle, trusting Jesus Christ as Savior, week in and week out and week in and week out. We don't just set 2 weeks aside and say, let's have a revival and get some people saved. We believe in doing that 52 weeks out of the year. There are some churches that don't do anything like that for the rest of the year. They think if they do it twice in a year, 2 weeks, that they've done their deed. Nowhere in the Bible does it say just set a couple weeks aside and try to get people saved, and the other 52 weeks of the year just come and sit comfortably and enjoy the air conditioning and the heat in your church and give no concern about the souls of men. No, that's a misconception. We're to be concerned about people going to heaven and not going to hell 52 weeks out of the year. We are in a perpetual revival. Bible here. We're seeing people saved constantly, and that's how it ought to be. But here's what we do. In the fall, in the spring, and every once in a while in the summer, we may pick 4 or 5 weeks, and we set them aside to intensify our weekly soul winning efforts. Not a routine revival, because we're already having a 52-week revival, and everybody here can testify to that. Matter of fact, been going on for over 5 years. If I see it right, just week after week after week after week after week after week, we see the Spirit of God move in our services and people being saved and people being salvaged and marriages being fixed up and just miraculous things happening. But what we're doing is we set these 4 or 5 weeks aside, and we intensify the already going on, the revival that's already going on. You might call it a super revival, or the revival's revival. Maybe it's the World Series of the World Series, or the Super Bowl of the Super Bowl of our year. But it's a revival of the revival that's already taking place. And so, you know, during our fall attendance push, this isn't necessarily a time when we reward people for, memorizing Scripture. We reward people for memorizing Scripture 52 weeks out of the year. No, it's our goal to reach people. We're trying to get people to come so we can get them saved and they could follow the Lord in that command to be baptized. And not only that, that they would, hopefully we'd like for them to make this church their church home so we can grow them and teach them and love them and help them to live successful lives. So we're kind of adding to our current soul winning emphasis an extra boost of energy, an extra excitement, an extra expediency. We're trying to be sober, serious-minded about this thing. We're going to be vigilant. We're going to apply ourselves on purpose. Why? We really believe there is a devil. And we use a cartoon character, and no picture that anybody's ever showed you of the devil, that's not what the devil looks like. No, he does not look like any of those pictures. I hope none of us ever have to see him until it's the day, as the Bible teaches us in the book of Revelation, well, he will be bound and thrown into hell for all eternity. I'd like to get a glance at the sucker then when he's all bogged down and he's on his way to hell for all eternity. But until then, I don't really want to see his face. I don't want him to be anywhere around me. But we are adding intensity to an already soul-winning intense church. Let me tell you something. If you're a guest here today, you're a visitor, you're in the midst of a people that enjoy serving God. We don't have this attitude, we've got to go to church. We have an attitude that we get to go to church. And I don't even when we have our attendance pushes, I don't want it to be that we say, oh, we've got to do this. No, I'd rather it that we get to do this. So we have some fun with it. It's not a have to, it's a get to. And I get to serve the Lord. And I get to be involved in something that's fun and exciting and vibrant for God. Let me tell you some things. In months gone by, in the last 5 years, we've had some fun things with this thing that we call our fall or our spring attendance campaigns. We had one that we called Racing with the Champions. It was a racing theme. When you came into the auditorium, it was all decorated up with there were race tracks and race cars, and we had big pictures of the staff men and the leaders of the church, and they all were wearing race uniforms. We taught a series of lessons using flags, the kind of flags that they use at a race course, you know, a checkered flag and the green flag and a white flag. Hey, you remember Mr. Todd Bennett came at the end of that thing, and he jumped a bunch of our red, white, and blue buses out here with his motorcycle. Almost 1,500 people came to church that morning. the following couple of weeks, they had a picture in our local paper. And then I'll remind you, they also put a picture of our church and that episode in the USA Today newspaper. And then it finally ended up in Time Magazine. Oh, boy, was it exciting. Oh, how exciting. The winners who brought the most guests, we rewarded them and took them down to the Indy 500 racetrack in Indianapolis, Indiana. And we took a tour of the track and we went to a museum down there and ate in what they call the Brickyard Restaurant. You say, what's that all about? Well, just having some fun serving the Lord, trying to keep everybody out of hell that we can. And we enjoyed it. I don't want to ever get it to the point where we don't enjoy helping people. Boy, I tell you what, the honor of my lifetime is serving people and helping people. I don't think that God intended the church to be dead and boring and dry and mundane. I don't think that's what God intended. I think God intended us to smile while we're serving Him and enjoy serving Him. I remember not long ago, we had what we called a midweek madness. Now, that's where we took our attendance campaign and we pushed it into Wednesday night. Instead of trying to build the attendance Sunday morning, we tried to build the attendance on Wednesday night. Every Wednesday night, we gave away a different music CD and delightful, funny songs. And they were all Christian songs. We had a meal every Wednesday night that people could come and share. If you brought a guest, we gave you a little gift card to a local restaurant where you could go out and eat. And then during that thing, we kicked off our junior choir and our primary choir. And oh, did we have a wonderful time. What was it all about? Reaching people, helping people, getting people into the church. What's wrong with churches today? Well, do they not want people to come? They don't have to stay dead. They don't have to stay dry. I guess somebody needs to love the church as much as they love everything else out there in the world. I'd hate to think that the business people of the world would love making money more than we love the Lord. They're out there trying to figure out every way under the sun to get people into their business and to make money off of them. And yet churches that are dead and dry and they don't care about anything or anybody. They've got 12 people come to their church and their theme is just basically it's us and we don't want anybody else. You know, but I don't believe that way. I think the Lord wants us to reach people. I think the Lord wants us to bring people to church. Hey, last year, I think, a whole year ago, we had a fall program that we called Old Paths. And that's because we were kicking off our National Old Paths Conference. We gave people gifts of pictures of the old-time preachers of yesteryear. And we gave away preaching CDs of some of the great men of years gone by. We had treasure chests filled with old-fashioned gifts and, you know, packages of whorehound candy. And then some old King James Bibles tucked in there. And we gave those away. We took the winners of that fall program down to Mocksville, North Carolina. They all traveled down there with me. We were having a regional Old Paths Conference. Went down, stayed at a nice hotel and took a journey down there and enjoyed going to that preaching conference. Went, Brother Gillen, we went to some place that sold barbecue down there. You remember the name of that? Well, I'll tell you what, it was good. We went to this place that sold barbecue. You know, you head toward the south, they've got barbecue like you don't understand. It's not like Arby's barbecue sauce in a package now. We're talking about that stuff that brews in the back like some of your corn liquor brews behind grandma's house. And boy, they make that barbecue, but that's what the winners won. They won a trip down there. Then we had one years and years ago. We called it the Night Church Program. And again, it's where we try to get people to come to Sunday night church. We call it Work for the Night is Coming. All the Sunday school lessons were taught that proved that they had church in the Bible at nighttime. This thing of having Sunday night and Wednesday night church isn't something we dreamed up. It's in the Bible. It's something the Bible teaches. And all the lessons were about it. Hey, you remember the time I had just become the pastor here about 5 years ago, which seems like yesterday to me. I mean, it just seems like yesterday. Now, doesn't look like yesterday according to the grayness of my hair. There's some of you who've seen my hair go through the transition. And but I remember I first got here and we had a patriotic theme. Remember, I think we called it God Bless America or something like that. One Sunday morning we brought all the firemen all over a 2 or 3 county area. You remember? I mean, dozens and dozens and dozens of firemen came and we honored them and gave them gifts. Fire trucks parked all over the property here. And then on another Sunday of those God Bless America days, we had all the policemen come. And they came, and again, you remember police cars and men in uniform, and they came, and there was a man, I think his last name was Ellsworth. There was a man that was a police officer that had been shot and paralyzed, been shot in the head. Him and his wife came that morning, and we honored them, and we gave them some gifts, and we thanked all the police officers for their contribution to keeping America safe. Then another week, we had the big week with the military and the veterans, and oh boy, men from everywhere, and I mean dozens and dozens and dozens of them. Hey, that was when the 103-year-old World War I veteran came. You remember that? He got saved, and one of the only men of that age alive in the world today, and he was here. You say, what's that all about? Reaching people. Reaching people. You're just looking at a preacher that believes we ought to put some energy forth to reach people. And I don't want to do it in a way that makes us not like serving God. I like serving God. I like some of this. You might say that tomfoolery. You know what? I like a little bit of that. I like a little bit of fun while you're serving God. Serving God's not boring. Serving God's not for dead people and old people. It's for everybody. And I like serving God. I like people to come to my church and like being here. I really do. I like that. Oh, but let me tell you something. Every time that we start to head down the path of one of these attendance building campaigns, the devil says, I'm on it. I'm on it. I want to stop that from happening. He's not pleased when we launch one of these thrusts to helping people. The devil has a fall program as well. The minute you and I say, hey, let's all band together and let's put a double emphasis on reaching people, the devil says, I'm going to put a double emphasis on stopping you. The program of destruction, program of discouragement and depression is what he'd like to bring on our church. He works at taking people to hell 52 weeks out of the year, just like we work at taking people to heaven 52 weeks out of the year. We, when we get to doing what we're about to do, we end up forcing the devil to work overtime. Hey, let's get him putting in mega hours because of us. Let's make it so the devil says, this church keeps me up at night. This church got me worried. They're turning the world upside down for Christ. And they're happy and serving God and getting people saved. You know, I hate to say it, but I think there are some churches the devil says, don't worry about them. They ain't going to do anything. But I think the devil looks at our church and says, boy, I hate that place. I hate that place. I'll do everything I can to hinder them and stop them. You ask, hey, well, Brother Owens, does he get some special speaker to speak at his fall program? No, he'll just keep you from listening to the one that's speaking at yours. He'd like to keep you from listening to me as I try to motivate us to go do something great for God. He says, you know what? Devil comes today and he says, don't let him affect you. You don't let this guy affect you. Don't let him get to you. That's what the devil say. The devil comes to you and says, don't you let Brother Owens get to you. Right up here, there's this big picture up here of the devil, and it says, I hate this church. He says, go ahead and criticize this fall program. That's exactly what the devil wants. That's the devil's goal. That's what he wants. His program is planned to keep us from succeeding at our program. And so, you know, that's the way the devil's program is all the time. The minute we start doing something for God, the devil says, I want to stop them from doing that for God. I want to limit that thing's success. Hey, well, let's not let his program stop us from accomplishing our program. We have been given a charge by the Lord Jesus Christ to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, that's a lot of people, and that's a big world. And we need to make sure we're doing all we can to reach people for Jesus Christ. Don't let the devil stop you, and let's not let the devil stop us. He wants you to help him with his plan. He wants you to throw your hat in the ring to keep us from being successful. Hey, what would the devil say if the devil could come and promote his program against what we're about to do? What would he say? What would his goals be? Hey, if the devil were about to step up to the pulpit and speak today to say, all right, folks, I've got an attendance-destroying program for you. Here's my plan. What would his plan be? Let me tell you what his plan would be. First thing he'd do is he'd do this. The devil would say, I want you all to know, I've got to work harder during program time than any other time. He said, we got to work harder. Those of you that are going to help me, the devil would say, we got to work hard. and not working hard. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, verse number 12, "For the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but little time." You know, the Bible says that the devil, as we get closer and closer to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the devil's working harder and harder. More furiously does he work, because he knows he doesn't have much time. He wants to take everybody to hell that he possibly can. Hey, and the devil knows this. He knows that we work harder, so he must work harder. Some of you are, hey, don't be a blessing to the devil. Don't be a blessing to the devil. Throw yourself into this thing. Get involved in this thing. You know what? Let's make the devil work some overtime. Let's make the devil realize that we're not finished yet around here. And there's something great on the horizon. But I want to tell you something. He comes along and he says, "I'm going to work harder at this time." You can be sure if we're working harder to keep people out of hell, the devil's going to work harder to hurt. For instance, and I mean this, you may think I'm playing, but honestly, seriously, I think the devil's going to do everything he can to discourage you, distract you, and get you off track for the next 4 weeks, because he does not want you to become a part of this super revival, this increased effort. He doesn't want you to be a part of it. I think your car will break down. Now, some of you say, "Well, he was on me last week because it broke down last week." Well, some of you have a perpetual breakdown situation, and that ain't the devil. That's just your stupid car. Time for you to take that behind the barn and shoot it, bury it, if it's worth a slug. But honestly, I'll tell you something. I really believe. I believe if the devil could get your car down, he'd like that. Why? He wants to discourage you. You know, you said, "I'm going out visiting, and I'm going to go out and get some visitors, and I'm going to get some people to come to church." Well, suddenly you got a flat tire. I can just about tell you who poked a hole in that thing. It's old Smutty Face, because he wants to stop you. Somebody, in the next 4 weeks, you're going to have a financial reversal. Something's going to come your way. You're going to say, "You know what, I was going to give a little extra, and I was going to help get this thing done for the church, and now the devil comes along and look at what he's done." But I want you to know, you and I, we're not to be blind to his devices. I'm telling you today, if our church is about to launch into a super revival for a month, we're about to keep more people out of hell than what we do the rest of the time. The devil's not happy about it. And he is going to work overtime on me and you, because we're about to work overtime on him. And he's going to come along. He'd like to see your car break down. He'd like to see you have some unexpected financial problem. He'd like to see you and your mate just suddenly start not getting along. He wants you to get in a fight. He'd love for that fight, you know, the cold shoulder to last for the next 4 or 5 weeks, just so you're unproductive and you've got a bad spirit and it's hell at home. He'd like that. Well, don't you let the devil... Hey, you better stop and realize something. You better stop and realize when the devil's messing with your marriage and messing with your home, he's trying to keep you from being happy enough to go make something happen for God outside your home. That's what he's trying to do. Some of you need to stop and realize that the devil is real. There's going to be bad news hit you. You can guarantee it. Somebody here, something's going to happen. It's going to be about the job, or it's going to be about a parent or something. But I'll promise you, when we launch into an attendance building campaign, the devil comes along and says, "I'm going to put overtime in. I'm going to try to stop you. I want to discourage you. I'm going to figure out a way." He's going to hit you. Something's going to come. Something's going to come. It's going to sucker punch you. It's going to knock the air out of you. And the devil's saying, "Ha, ha, ha, gotcha. Now you're not going to participate. Now you got you an excuse. Now I got you down." Somebody here, you're gonna find some health problems that you didn't know you had. Somebody here, I'll tell you what's going to happen. Somebody here, and you be careful of this. And I'm not just trying to put some psychological information out there for you. I'm telling you, the devil is going to try to get somebody here to get contrary with some leader in the church. So you're angry. Help me out, ushers back here. Let's make sure that we find this fellow a seat. Look right back this way, if you will, please. And Brother Brett, if I can have this microphone. Well, I'll tell you what's going to happen, and look right this way at me. What's going to happen is somebody, the devil's going to do his dead level best to make sure that you get contrary with some church leader. Why? It's really not all about you and the church leader. The devil wants you to be upset so you don't show up at church and you're mad and you've got a bad spirit. God was wanting to use you to help with the month's revival, but now you're so caught up in all the problems. You're mad at old so-and-so and old so-and-so's mad at you and they didn't treat your child right. And you didn't realize it really wasn't all about your child. It wasn't really all about that leader. It really wasn't all about you. It was all about the devil coming, trying to steal your attitude, to soil your attitude. So we are not productive in moving forward. This is exactly what he does. This is how it always is. You're going to have trouble with your child at school. And so, I mean, it's going to come. In the next 4 weeks, it's going to happen. And it's going to squelch your desire to go out soul winning or to work on a bus route. Hey, don't be shocked if it seems as if the devil starts putting overtime in. That's how he is. The devil has kicked off his fall program of destruction. All of you are sitting in Sunday school classes this morning, and as you sat there, your teacher said, here's what we're going to do to try to bring more people in so we can love them and so we can teach them the Bible and get them saved and get them baptized. Bus routes, everybody's being told this is what we're going to do to try to get more people under the sound of the gospel. And the devil said to all the imps of hell, fellas, gather around. We're kicking off our program this morning. We're intensifying our efforts. Man recently told me this, a very wise man. He said, you know, Brother Owens, he said, I'll tell you the truth. He said, I know I'd heard about the devil and all that. I've been saved for years. He said, but I had never really seriously taken him as a personal enemy. He said, you preached a sermon called Remember Who the Real Enemy Is. Some of you remember it. Our real enemy is Satan. He is the real enemy here. It's like, I'm not your enemy. You're not mine. The one that gets us into all the messes, it's all about the devil trying to hurt us. You and I fussing and bickering, or you being mad at me, or me being mad at you, or you striking out at me, or me striking out at you. It's really not all about us. The devil wants to get you and me off track so that he keeps us from being productive for the Lord. The devil will work hard to convince you. Hey, look, the devil's going to work hard to convince some of you. You helped the last time. You don't need to help this time. He is going to work overtime because he knows we're going to work overtime. So you see, if the devil, if he were about to kick off a fall program and he were going to talk to you about it, he'd say to you, point number one, folks, I'm going to work overtime. You know what that means? We need to work overtime. We need to work overtime. Secondly, I'll tell you what the devil would say. The devil would say to you, folks, souls are at stake. Souls are at stake. Ushers, help me. If somebody comes in, won't you have them just sit in the back with you? And that way they don't saunter all the way down and sit down in the front row of the choir looking for a seat. So if somebody comes in, you just very politely say, won't you just have a seat right here? That way the preacher doesn't embarrass you. All right, now, they'll believe that. But you know, the second thing the devil's going to do, the devil's going to say, folks, listen to me. Souls are at stake. Souls are at stake. You know, Matthew chapter 25, verse number 41, it says, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. You know, the Bible teaches that people don't get saved, die, and go to hell. Which means this. The devil says there are souls at stake, and he's talking about, he wants to take them to hell. He says, hey, anybody that wants to help me, we better intensify our efforts at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church's fall program time, because they're going to be snatching souls away from me, and they're going to be sending dozens and hundreds of people to heaven at this time. Souls are at stake. He says, all of hell, rise up. The imps of hell. Let's stop that place. The devil wants to take people to hell. And the minute you and I say, well, we're going to do something about it, he says, well, you watch. I'm going to do something about it. And we say, well, we're going to keep little boys and girls out of hell. And the devil says, I'm going to take all of them to hell that I can. You see, souls are at stake. He knows that our little promotional gifts are all for the sake of the souls of men. He knows that. He knows that Jesus saves. And when Jesus saves, it's permanent. And he does not like that. The Bible teaches that you are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible teaches once you get saved, you're forever saved, and the devil doesn't like it. And he knows every little boy, every little girl, every man, every woman that gets saved, they're saved. They're saved once and forever, and he can never get them back. And he says, I'm going to try to stop this.
I'm going to try to stop this from happening. He knows they will never suffer in hell if they get saved. So the devil says there are souls at stake. Hey, the devil's in this thing for numbers.
Yes, sir.
He's in it for numbers. He wants thousands and millions of people to go to hell. Boy, he doesn't want them to get saved. He knows we're trying to keep great numbers of people out of hell.
Right.
He knows we're trying to keep numbers of people out of hell. He knows we want to see numbers of people saved. And the devil says, well, you're trying to keep them out of hell. I'm trying to take them to hell. And we'll see how many you get. Well, let's see how many we can get. Let's see how many people we can get the gospel to. Let's see how many people can get born again. Let's see how many people can get saved. See, folks, the devil believes in heaven more than some of us. If we really believed there was a hell, and if we really believed there was a heaven, there'd be some of you that are tight-lipped and you never invite anybody to church. There'd be some of you, if you really believed in heaven and you really believed in hell, you'd be inviting some people. Now, the devil knows he believes in a heaven. He believes in a hell. You know, all we do is we have some fun while we reach people. But I'm going to tell you something. Those people that die and go to hell, the ones we don't reach, that's not going to be fun. We have some fun with it. We enjoy it. But the ones that die and go to hell, they're not going to enjoy it. You know, what is this? Well, why in the world did God save you? God saved you because He loved you. And then He saved you and you become a part of His workforce. God saved you, and you've heard me say this before, God did not save you and kill you and take you right to heaven. Why not? Well, He left you behind because He wanted you to help reach other people. It's called the Great Commission. You and I are commissioned by God to go out and get people saved and help them get baptized and get them into the church so they can learn to live for God. He left us behind to do that. You've got a misconception if you think God saved you so you could sit at home and eat bonbons on the couch all day long and watch Oprah. That's not why God left you behind. God left you behind to make something happen. And it's not just to stir mashed potatoes at the church fellowship. There's a bigger job. That job is the souls of men. So God comes along and says, hey, why don't that church down there have an intense revival for the next month? Get a bunch of people saved. And the devil steps up and says, all right, I'll do something about that. They're going to work hard. I'll work hard. I'll make it hard on them. They're going to win souls. Well, I'll do what I can to take those souls to hell. I'll intensify my efforts. Thirdly, the devil come along and he said, you know what? I've got to keep the Christians from getting excited. I've got to keep them from getting excited. See, the Bible said God told us that we need to be vigilant. 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 That's a word of aggression. That's a word of energy. That's a word with purpose. That's a word with excitement. That's a word that says, don't you be bored about it. Don't you be lethargic about it. Don't you be dead about it. God is saying here, there's a place called hell and somebody needs to get excited about Jesus Christ being able to keep somebody out of hell. Some of you are as dead as you can be. You're saved, but you have no concern if anybody else goes to heaven. And God said, you need to get excited about God. I'm excited about God. I'm excited about the things of God. I don't want to lose that. Man told me when I was a young preacher, he said, Brother Owens, he said, you're full of zeal right now. But after you've done it a few years, you'll lose your zeal. I hope to God that man is never a prophet. I hope that when I'm 80 years old, I'm up here with my cane and my walker. I'm hobbling along as fast as I can. The devil very strategically points his spiritual fire extinguisher at the hottest spiritual Christians, pulls the trigger, and wants to put your fire out. Don't let him calm you down. He shoots at the leadership. He wants to calm the leadership down. Hey, he wants to convince the leaders, oh, you don't have to do anything. Let everybody else do it. He says, don't get excited. You may embarrass yourself. I'll tell you something. There's some preachers out there that need to embarrass themselves. You know, my congregation's asleep. Well, wake the preacher up. We ought to be excited about the things of God. The devil says, if I can keep these teenagers from getting excited now, I'll keep them from being excited when they're adults. Get excited. Get excited about serving God. Get excited about the fact that you have the privilege of going to someone that is lost and on their way to hell. You can bring them to church. They can get born again. And you make a difference in somebody's eternity. Meet somebody you work with. I mean, somebody that lives across the street from you. If you go to the public school, you ought to be bringing your friends to church with you. You shouldn't be afraid to invite the people that you work with to come to Sunday school. The people that you meet at Walmart. And God knows I know you go there. I know we about live there. We ought to be excited. You know, people say, well, you know, I'm not like that. That's not me. So you don't get excited at a football game? Is that so? You don't get excited at a football game? You don't get excited at a basketball game? My wife gets tickled to death. I like to hunt. She gets tickled to death when I'm watching a DVD and a guy sticks a big old buck and he's up there in that tree and the adrenaline hits him, you know. My wife says, so what's the deal? You've never shot a deer. You don't understand. It's even good if you hit it with your car. The bad thing is you were in a field with a car, you know. Some of you rednecks are saying, what's wrong with that? Bubba. The adrenaline rush. Putting that deer down. Oh, my. That's exciting. Remember taking my boys fishing and we were at the St. Joseph River. We were fishing and boy, were we having a good time. I forget, one of my boys caught a 37-inch fish. That's fun. That's fun. I mean, the thing about it is, though, you know, you get on something like that, and that old pole bends over. That thing shoots out through the water, and it's powerful enough to pull the boat. Whew! Woo! You say, ah, that's good. You're talking my language. Hey, let me tell you what my language is. Watching some little boy or some little girl that's never been born again, we go out and give them a piece of candy. They come to church, and we tell them about Jesus Christ. They were hell bound. They were on their way to spend all eternity in the depths of hell with Satan, old Beelzebub. And we tell them about Jesus Christ. And they come, and they get born again, and we send them home on their way to heaven. That cranks me up. That lights my fire. Oh, the devil comes along and says, I'm going to keep you calm, though. Right. Tell what? Heard that before. What time's he going to be done today? Someone said a fanatic is anyone who gets more excited about Jesus than you. You're just a fanatic. No, I'm more energetic than you. For some of you, everyone's a fanatic. There'll be another time. Hey, whatever you do, don't pour water on the fire of some excited Christian. Whatever you do, somebody's obedient to Christ and excited. Don't turn your nose up and make them feel bad about the fact they're doing something for God. The devil comes along and he says, I've got to be extra faithful at this time because the church is going to be extra faithful at this time. The devil comes along and says, I'll be there. I'll be there in every church service. I'll try to disrupt it. I'll give them fits with the PA. I'll give them fits with the behavior of people. There'll be cell phones going off. There'll be people. There'll be problems. Have some little kid get loose, running half undressed from the nursery somewhere, coming straight down the aisle. It's bound to happen. I've seen it. God gets to working. Somehow you get a hole in the baptistry and all the water leaks out. Why? The devil's trying to slow us down. But folks, let me tell you something. We got to be more faithful now than ever. We need you to be in church Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. I need you in your bus meeting and in your soul winning meeting. Don't attend less, attend more. Why? It's faithfulness time. It's faithfulness time. Why? The devil's going to be faithful. The devil says, well, you know what? I may take a few extra offerings at this time. There'll be people that'll slow their giving down instead of increase their giving at a time like this. That's the devil's influence. That's the devil's influence. You ought to increase at a time like this. This is where you get higher benefit. It yields more fruit at a time like this. Oh, yeah. God, if you're not careful, you'll back off and you'll stop tithing, which, by the way, is a command of God, not a suggestion of Jeff Owens. And that goes into the general fund of the church. Why? That's where we finance all this soul saving stuff. What a tremendous opportunity it is. The devil comes along and said, you know what? I'm going to ruin their attitude. I'll get them to sit there and say, this is children's stuff. I'll tell you what. If it is, let's see how many people you bring down the aisle and get baptized, and you don't have to participate in any of it. You don't have to get you any devil squares from little Debbie. We'll give them to us kids. The issue is not the little gift. The issue is our attitude. They will come along and say, well, I'll get them to think that these promotional items are wrong. They're a bribe. You better check and see. A bribe is when somebody pays you money to do wrong.
Right.
We're giving people a gift to do right.
Amen. Right.
Somebody's corrupted your mental dictionary.
Good.
Devil comes along and says, well, I'll get them to form a bad attitude about a full parking lot. I want to apologize to this church publicly. I'm very sorry your parking lot's full. Fire me. Send me up the road.
Good.
Thought you brought me here to fill the parking lot.
Yeah.
It's full.
Yeah. Amen.
What do you want me to do? Every time I build another one, we fill it. We're buying Quad Graphics, going to build a bridge over there, and we're going to start using their parking someday. But you got to wait till I get the money. A bad attitude about classrooms being too full. I don't know what to do, folks. I'm building as God knows as fast as I can. You say my Sunday school classroom is full. Ask the fat people not to come. I don't know what to do. And don't get mad. God loves everybody. I'm teasing. We're not trying to point you out. See, Brother Owens, what in the world are you doing trying to get more people to come to church? Look at us. We're packed in here like sardines now. Weren't you glad that you used Ban? Just wear your antiperspirant. Don't you think God wants the church full?
Yeah.
Doesn't God want Sunday school full? Doesn't God want the Baptist for years? Didn't He want the parking lot full? Didn't He want that? Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing? Then don't let the devil sour your attitude about it. Bad attitude about the bus ministry and them bus kids. Bad attitude about our enjoying our service to God. You said, Brother Owens, all this fun. You wanting people to have fun, keeping people out of hell. Don't you know Christians are supposed to be grumpy, sour? We're stuck in this world. Yeah, but see, buddy, this world's not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I'm not stuck here. I'm not in a rut. I'm in a groove, baby, sliding toward heaven. The devil. Hey, let me tell you something. The devil even gives prizes away. He'll reward you. He'll reward you. Someday maybe you can have some nightmares about the people you should have reached, but you didn't, that they died and went to hell. He'll reward you. I'm not a promoter of Halloween. But there's a story. Some of you've heard about Charlie Brown and the Great Pumpkin and all that stuff. When Charlie Brown went trick-or-treating, he always got a rock. Everybody else got candy. Let me tell you all something. You don't do what you can for God, devil will reward you. He'll throw a rock in your bag. How am I going to get to heaven while the rewards and the crowns are being given out? You don't get rewards for just coming to church. You say, well, there's a reward for being faithful. Talking about being faithful and serving Him. Not just watching somebody else serve Him. When you hold out your trick-or-treat bag, which won't be going on in heaven, I'll guarantee you, but when you hold out your bag, say, God, what do I get? You're going to get a rock. Somebody else is going to get a crown.
Why? They influenced people, got them to Jesus. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 4, verse number 10, that they cast their crowns at His feet. We kick off a program, the devil kicks off a program. We try to reach more people, the devil tries to keep more people. We try to get them saved, he wants to take more people to hell. We intensify our efforts, so does he. And wants to try to keep you down too. Let's do something. Let's pull together. And while the devil is busy trying to have Satan's fall attendance destroying program, let's be busy having God's attendance building campaign and the kingdom of God building campaign. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me recommend something. Won't you get saved today and let's kick this thing off right now. Let's see if there's some people here that need to be born again. In a moment, we're going to have a thing called an altar call. That's what churches are supposed to do. They invite sinners to come to the Savior. It's going to happen in just a moment. We're all going to bow our heads and we're going to close our eyes. When that happens, I'm going to say to you, if you want to be saved, you come and we'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. There'll come a moment that I'll say, let's stand, and the choir will begin to sing a song that we call the invitation song, that's inviting you to come and respond to Jesus Christ. If you're unsaved, you leave your seat, you come forward, and these men that are sitting right now on this platform will be standing down front. They're there to receive you, and if you're not saved, you walk up to them and say, I want to be born again. Somebody will take you a Bible, and before we leave this property today, you'll be saved and on your way to heaven. Let's start it today. Let's see if there's somebody here today that needs to be saved. Hey, there's some Christians out there. You need to say, you know what? I'm getting on board. I'm getting on board. I'm going to bring visitors. I'm going to grab me one of them flyers back there. I'm going to get involved. I'm going to invite people. I'll do everything I can. I'm going to make sure I keep my finances straight with God. If you've stopped giving, you need to start. Don't go backwards now. Somebody needs to get right with God about some things and say, I want to be a part of going forward. I don't want to aid the devil in going backwards. And if you do nothing, you're helping him. He'd be satisfied with that. Just do nothing. Sit there in your own little clean Christian way, but do nothing for God. And the devil says, well, fine dandy. Appreciate you not contributing. If you're not saved, I wish you'd get saved. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.